Accession number 17364, Reel 1.
Mr. Viner, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
I was born in a provincial town in Czechoslovakia, in northwestern Czechoslovakia.
What was its name?
Trautenau in German, or Trutnov in Czech.
Which is the nearby biggest city or town?
The nearby biggest was Hradec Králové in Czech.
Is this Bohemia?
Bohemia.
Which year were you born?
1919.
Can you tell me something about your family background? What kind of a family you come from? What your father did for a living and so on?
Yes. My father established himself in Trautenau as a manufacturer of well-known wooden toys. He originally came in the First World War as an imperial Austro-Hungarian soldier from Vienna to Trautenau, where he was stationed, where he met my mother, and they got engaged and eventually married at the end of the war in 1918, and 1919 I was born there.
So your mother's family came from Trautenau?
Yes. My mother's side, the whole family, comes from Czechoslovakia. My father is Viennese, and the fact that my father never opted for a Czech citizenship, in spite of the fact that he lived there for 20 years, he always maintained his Austrian birthrights. That actually saved his life, in a way, from the death camp. And he was able to return from Czechoslovakia after the communists took over in 1947 by having a renewed Austrian passport. He left Czechoslovakia and went back to Vienna to live the last 40 years of his life again in his old birthday town, and he spent 40 happy years there.
Was your family in prosperous or modest circumstances when you were growing up?
Well, it was slightly more than modest. My father has been a reasonably well-known manufacturer, which enabled him, his reputation alone enabled him to restart three times. He lost the first of his factory to the Nazis. He was able to restart in the remaining rump of the Czech state, to restart immediately because of his reputation in this field, with a partner, a Czech Aryan partner, who had a dilapidated wooden factory, and they restarted again there after a year's time to manufacture the old type of wooden toys for which my father was known. And when the communists took over this factory in 1947 and made the owner of this factory and my father, who was acting as the procurist or managing manager, they offered him only to sweep the floors and forbade them to enter any offices. But my father took his Austrian passport and said, "I'm not taking a cleaner's job," and left for Vienna. And he was able in Vienna, in the very early times, where Austria was still partitioned into the various American, French and British zones, he met a gentleman whom he knew from many years of previous businesses to establish a third factory in partnership with this gentleman, because my father left Czechoslovakia without a penny. The communists would only allow him to take a van load of personal belongings, and he was able to establish with this Austrian businessman a third factory in Vienna, and he again started to make a similar way of the same wooden toys. And when my father became approximately reached the age of 75 or 77, he sold that factory and retired in Vienna.
Did you personally have a religious or a non-religious upbringing?
Not Orthodox religious, certainly not. It was a what nowadays would be termed in England a kind of a liberal Jewish upbringing.
What kind of a school did you go to?
I went to the normal elementary and secondary schools.
Why did you live for long in Trautenau?
I lived the first I lived the first 20 years in Czechoslovakia. We had to run away in 1938, at that age I was 19, from my birthplace. We fled because the German invasion was imminent. The Nazi invasion was imminent, and we in fact went as my father feared a program for a night. We were the first family to spend that very night in the first safe Czech town of Hradec Králové, which I mentioned before, and we never went back again.
Before the family fled from Czechoslovakia, what were conditions like for Jewish people living in Czechoslovakia in the 20s and 30s? Did they suffer any discrimination from the state or the local people?
Not really. Not really. We enjoyed a very prosperous middle class life, and but we moved within, more or less within, the Jewish community of that little town of several hundred Jewish family, several hundred Jewish people, quite a number of families. We had a beautiful synagogue, and we were well known. My mother was born in this town, and my grandmother was born in the neighborhood, and
Is Trautenau in the Sudetenland?
Yes, oh yes, very much so, yes.
So did you see the entry of German soldiers into the Sudetenland?
No, we left days before.
Can you describe how the family got, how you got out of Czechoslovakia? What was the procedure?
Well, at this instance of time, we left at an evening to the safe Czech town where no German Nazis would be present. We stayed then in Prague, and I left Prague in 1939 on the 1st of November, on a so-called, after the outbreak of the war, on a legal, I left legally with the sanction of the German Gestapo, who by then were in occupation of all of Czechoslovakia. But the trip was an illegal trip on the Danube down to the Black Sea, and eventually arrived in 1940 on the 28th of February in Haifa.
Did you say the Gestapo sanctioned your leaving?
The Gestapo allowed a group of, at my instance, a group of approximately 1,500 Jews, male and female, but they had to be probably less than 35 years of age. We were transported in locked railway carriages to the Slovakian town of Bratislava, which is on the river Danube. We spent about 10 days there in a sports stadium, and eventually left on a Danube Steam Company's pleasure boat, which normally was had accommodation for 400 luxury cabins, 400 luxury travelers, but we were about 1500 cramped on these boats, and it took us 2 months to disembark from these boats because the trip on the Danube took approximately 10 days. Through the Danube goes, leaves Slovakia, goes into Hungary, goes through Bulgaria and ends in Romania. But at the Romanian destination, there was no seafaring transport available to cross the Black Sea down the Dardanelles to the destination of Palestine. So, and the winter was very cold, and the Danube steamer froze in thick ice and could not move. And we spent 2 months on the steamer, and eventually a totally rusted through former coal transport steamer named Zakaria, who had was flying a Turkish flag, arrived at this seaport of Romania, which is called Sulina, which is the Danube's delta into the Black Sea. And through these months of being frozen in the Danube Delta, our original establishment of about 1,500 increased to about 3,000 refugees, because many joined there from Romania and Hungary. So that we were about 3,000 when we eventually steamed out from Sulina on our way to, of human cargo, to direction of Palestine. But after a few days traveling past the Turkish port of Istanbul and the Dardanelles, a British Navy merchantman arrived, fired a shot of salvos across our bow. Took over the ship and brought the British contingent of British Army on board of this Navy merchant vessel, which was equipped with cannons. It was an auxiliary boat, and took us into Haifa. The reason for this, that the British government, after the outbreak of the war, did not longer wanted to control the illegal arrival of Jewish emigres, and wanted to keep a tab on whom they admit and whom they fear as possible German spies under and in between the refugees, and all those illegal travelers were transported from the boat, which was called Zakaria. That was the name of the ship. It was about 3,000 tons of rusted metal. All those inhabitants were incarcerated for exactly 6 months in Palestine in refugee camps. And after the exact 6 months penal servitude, were issued with legal identification certificates to live as Palestinians.
Can I just go back to something?
Yeah.
I'm very surprised that the Gestapo allowed you and the other Jews to leave Czechoslovakia legally. How did it come about?
Well, I can only presume the following, that at the time of 1939, the Gestapo, or the German authorities, were trying to foment Arab uprising against the Palestinian Jewish community by allowing further Jewish immigrants into Palestine. The Germans sought to, as I said, foment the Arab uprising against the British government. On the other hand, the German authorities at that time in 1939 were only allowing Jewish emigration for money, and they took considerable amounts of money, which was called Reichsfluchtsteuer, which is German, which means state embarkation tax. They would not let you go without payment. That was the second possible reason that the Gestapo cashed in.
Did you personally have anything to do with the negotiation of this exit of this party of Jews to Palestine from Czechoslovakia?
No. There was a man who obviously had the best connection to the Gestapo, and he was the official organizer of these illegal transports, of which there were many who arrived on the shores of Palestine. And in my particular case, this man had probably daily contact with the Gestapo headquarters in Prague, And he was the one who was responsible to the Gestapo for organizing this transport. And it was an enormous organization. We had possibly 20 folds embarkation dates. It went on for months. We went to the railway station and came back 10 hours later. It was cancelled. The organization was so enormous that this person, whose name was called Mandler, had an office with a typing pool of maybe 20, 30 people to organize the exit of the whole organization of exporting illegal transport into Palestine.
Did you know Herr Mandler?
I know him because he was the big chief. I had never spoken to him personally. And I believe that this particular Mr. Mandler, who made many transports, I can only speak for the one I know. He did a number of transports. I think the one I was on was the one before last. He did one more, he did organize, and then it was stopped. That Mandler was in 1945 put before a people's court and was supposed to have been shot as a collaborator, a Jewish collaborator with the Nazis. But this is, I cannot confirm this, because my mother believed it has happened, that he was eventually shot by a people's court, in spite of the fact that, speaking personally, he saved quite a few thousand Jewish lives.
How did you get onto the party who were leaving Czechoslovakia for Palestine? How did it happen?
Oh, that was as well known in Prague or in Czechoslovakia that there are various ways of leaving and fleeing from the Nazis from Czechoslovakia. There were, for instance, other groups who went to various vice consuls of practically all the South American states who issued entry visas for money into many of the South American, Latin American states. And in Vienna was the Chinese embassy, which allowed against payment visas into Shanghai. And in 1945 there was an emigre community in Shanghai of maybe 20,000 Austrian Jews, and various ways where people were also trying to leave Czechoslovakia totally legally.
So there was no problem for you personally to get onto this party leaving for Palestine?
No problem at all. No, no.
When the British intercepted you, how did the British first treat you when this armed merchant man stopped your ship?
They treated us very well. There were several platoons of the Lancashire Regiment who mounted the machine gun back and aft on the boat, on the Sakarya coal mine steamer. They arrested the captain. They locked the and they sailed, they ran the boat to Palestine. And they were actually quite relieved because they were waiting for us for probably many, many weeks behind a Greek island, and were fed up because the British, I presume, the British intelligence service knew of the transport being stuck in a Romanian port of Sulina for many months, and were not prepared to allow them to arrive under their own steam on the shores of Palestine.
What form did this penal servitude, which you had to do, what form did it take for you?
Purely detention.
And where was
under
this?
I was, the main group was in Atlit, which is a town in the neighborhood of Haifa, in Palestine, as it was. I myself was interned. It was under the Palestine Police Department detention, Palestine Police detention camp of exactly 400 inmates. Inside the biggest British Army Middle Eastern base called Sarafent.
Under
an army camp.
What were living conditions like in Sarafent?
Living conditions were comfortable. We only, after a little while, which could have been a month or two, we rebelled against the Arab food cuisine, because the Palestine police was at this particular time Arabs officered by British officers. We demanded, we could not eat the Arab food anymore, and we made a 24-hour strike, and we afterwards received food which was more edible for us to eat.
What was the difference in the food?
Well, I don't remember exactly, but it was, you know, the Arab cooking, and we were, after all, we were not even Palestinians, we were purely Central Middle Europeans. In Sarafent itself, the majority were from Czechoslovakia.
Now, I think you joined the British Army in Palestine.
Yes.
How and when did that come about, please?
Well, I had a cousin. It was a distant cousin who was older than me. Together in this detention camp in Sarafent, he had a Czech passport, and he immediately joined the Czech army on release from the detention camp. He never ventured into civilian life in Palestine.
Which army did he join?
The Czech army. The Czech army representatives came to the camp and asked who wants to volunteer into the Czech army. I could not do that because my father, as I mentioned before, was an Austrian. And in spite of having never left in my whole life Czechoslovakia, except for a holiday maybe once or twice, I've always been in Czechoslovakia, but had an Austrian passport. And the Czech recruiting officer needed some documents, and I